I have nothing to disclose. I forgot to put that slide in. So my name is Suzanne Gallagher, and I work at Stanford University, but the research that I'm going to be presenting today happened in Wisconsin. I recently went from the University of Wisconsin to Stanford. So I'm going to be talking today about an evaluation of a methodology that I've been using along with other community partners and researchers across the world and the United States. And so just a brief overview today. I'm going to start with talking about the background of participatory photo mapping and then the aims of the actual evaluation that I conducted and the theory and methods and then some results and outcomes. So why do we do evaluation? I would love to hear some feedback from the audience. Why do we do it? Know if what we're doing works or if it doesn't. Yes. So,
to get more funding.
we use our findings to write new grant proposals. So for me, the reason I conducted this evaluation is because I wanted to know if participatory photo mapping actually worked. And if it did work, what could I do to improve what we were doing? And to actually, and this is really important, to get at what really mattered. And a lot of times when we conduct evaluations or even when we do interventions, we don't really know, we don't really get at the heart of the matter. So participatory photo mapping is a suite of old methods that we mashed up, and it's really photographs, narratives, maps, and a result of some kind that is agreed upon by the community partner, either a report or a presentation or something that is used for community partners to communicate to specific audiences. And it's a way that we have engaged with communities together in a collaborative effort to advance place-based community health strategies. This photograph was taken on one of my most unique projects in Sri Lanka, and so I did this project on a tractor in the middle of the country, and I took this picture, but everyone else in the project was taking pictures of not the tractor. So participatory photo mapping is a process, and really what we were testing in the evaluation was that, you know, that the process is always the same, but what you put in is different. So if you're looking at safety of a neighborhood or nutrition environments or physical activity opportunities, that the input is going to be different, so the output is going to be different, but that the process is always going to be the constant. So we were looking at a focus on a particular community setting, and like you said, Mary, one of my really early on finding is that small geography matters. And so we're really looking at the setting as defined by the community. And that it generates findings that people in the community can utilize. It's useful. It's not done just for the sake of doing it. And then the problems and the solutions are defined by the people in the community. And so I'm really being clear that the experts in the setting are the community partners. The experts in the method are researchers and the facilitators of the method. And this is an important distinction because it's really about collaboration and that we all come together and have expertise that we together build a collaborative effort. And we gain insights that can be shared broadly and to different diverse audiences. The two aims, when I wrote the this project was funded through the University of Wisconsin Institute for Clinical and Translational Research, and when I wrote the proposal, these were my aims. And for all of those that have written proposals know that sometimes your research shifts when you conduct it. So really what we started out doing was assessing how participatory photo mapping helped communities identify factors in the community that impacted their health. You know, you can look at public health data, and you can go into communities and start talking to community members and find out that the data may not be reflective of what the community actually cares about. And we wanted to know what the community actually cares about. And then second, to identify to what extent PPM had contributed to achieving project goals and informed future work. So this was really a census survey. I wanted to get at the people who were actually conducting the project. So I was working with government officials, community members, and academics. So like people like public health nurses or people at the Boys and Girls Club who would approach me about doing work. And so you can see the breakdown of 22 people completed the survey. And the survey was developed through key informant interviews. And so main themes were used to develop the survey together with the Survey Center and do a really deep exploration of the participatory photomapping method, where we broke it apart, looked at every aspect of it, the photographs, the maps, and the narrative, and then kind of looked at what happens when we put those all together again. And so here's a visual of how it works. So really looking at one of the main findings was that for community partners, what community partners really are looking for are tools to get at the meaningful issues of people that live in their community. And what researchers are looking for is really the rigor and the scholarship of a method being conducted in a place. So the two columns sort of reflect that we're looking at the lived experience of place and that the corresponding method. And so where people actually live, and maps help us tell those stories. Images and photography. Images help get at the stories and the perceptions of place. And then, really important, we're looking at the interactions and the social networks that are there that we that haven't been really reflective of, for example, where people get their information or who are the decision makers in the community, who are the thought leaders, things like this. So again, what form does the lived experience of place take, and how are these the lived experiences communicated in useful ways? And I want to back up a little bit and say that the fact that the American Public Health Association named this conference Healthography is telling. It's showing us that we're starting to really recognize the intersection of health and place, and so really the lived experience of place is helpful in helping inform our public health efforts. And so we have these layers, and if any of you have used geographic information systems, you know that you can layer data on top of each other. And so what we are doing is we're layering photographs and stories on top of geographic information systems, and some people call this a qualitative GIS. So we're putting the photographs right there on the map where the photo was taken and the story right there on the map where the story was told. And so why photographs? So when you work with young people or people that speak languages other than English, photographs can be very helpful in helping elicit dialogue or content that might be emotional or that elicits discussion or is persuasive. So once you get a photograph, you can do a lot of things with it. You can use it to get a story, and you can also use it to convey to a decision maker someone's perspective that may not have ever been heard before. So as an example, one of the most common photographs I get back in the numerous projects I've done are pictures of basketball hoops. Almost every single project I get a picture of basketball hoops. So is this healthy or unhealthy? There's not a right or wrong answer. What? So, right, so your observation is that some kids are playing basketball on a street. And so a lot of public health professionals would think that it's probably not safe for kids to play basketball on a street. So a young person in a neighborhood said, "That's Chris's hoop. We dunk and stuff on that. I like to play ball here because it's a safe place. His mom and grandma own the buildings, and I feel safe when they are around." So according to this young person, this is safe. And so it's complicated. Like most everything in public health, it's complicated. And we want kids to be physically active. We want kids to be playing basketball and riding skateboards and all the things that our society seems to think are that we don't want kids to do, which is sending mixed messages. But that it's complicated. And so photographs tell stories, and photographs help us realize things that we wouldn't normally realize and sort of challenge our assumptions about how we think about place. And so maps. It was really interesting because everybody loves maps. You know, well, not, I guess I love maps, and a lot of people that I work with love maps. And when people were attracted to this method, or when community partners were asking me to help them design a project, they were attracted to the maps. But when we did the actual evaluation, we found that maps were not that easy to use. And yet maps serve an interest, and an interest could be yours. And so maps tell a story, and this is just one example of one map that I did in one project in which, you know, we were looking at a sense of safety, perceptions of safety in a neighborhood, and the little red dots are the waypoints, and the yellow dots are photographs. When I made the map, I realized that the kids that were doing this project were allowed to go anywhere, and they weren't going into certain parts of this community. So I asked different questions. I started asking them why they chose to go where, and it turns out they didn't feel welcome in this part of the neighborhood. And so this is an example of how this map helped me ask different questions, because this map told me a story of trends in behavior. So just important things to keep in mind when it comes to maps is that it's important to think of whose map and for what purpose, and who controls the process, who's left out of the process, who doesn't have a voice. Are young people involved in the decision-making process? And who is empowered or disempowered in the mapping process? And so, sorry, because sometimes a lot of words on the slide are really boring, but it's sometimes can't be helped. But these were the actual results of the survey findings of what PPM did. The main themes was that PPM helped community partners and academics document issues, gather data and information, and learn from diverse perspectives. The assessment piece is it helped gain information and compare findings. And so if I'm working with public health nurses that have data, then their data about teen pregnancy, say, and what the community expresses, if they differ, that tells me something. So integrating data helped tell the more complicated story of health in a place. Awareness supports shared learning opportunities that bring groups of people together, and it lifts up the issue. And then finally, action. And this is a really important to me, that a project is going to be conducted, that something comes of it, something that hopefully will help move and progress a community toward an action. So developing interventions, nurturing change at the community level, and civic engagement and work with decision makers. Again, different communities are at different levels of capacity for change, and so it's really important that when we design interventions that we understand that. And so it's going to be different depending on what community you're working on. And so really looking at awareness of the issue, the social dynamics of people in the neighborhood, changes in the built environment. And so this is important because a lot of times people have a lot to say about what they would envision their ideal community to be. And sometimes that's not realistic, and sometimes it is. And helping community members address policymakers and legislators and people in their community is helpful, and the image is just meant to be to, like, kind of think outside the box and get ourselves outside of the assumptions that we make in decision-making processes. And finally, that the result of this study told us that the technology piece is challenging and needed to be addressed, and that follow-through is also something that needed strengthening. And so the image is meant to be building blocks. These projects build upon each other. The work of constructing individual networks of individual people in community settings, and then the idea of the social networks, and so where people, like I said earlier, where people are getting their information. And then finally, building upon what works, this that it's an asset-based approach. Again, thank you to the Institute for Clinical and Translational Research, and for my mentors and advisors, and for the participants that participated in my project. And again, here's my contact information. We're going to have questions at the end. My email address if you want to get a hold of me. Thank you.